Let us now turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, and we shall read from verses 1 to 3. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The title this morning is Jesus Can Forgive Sins Because He is the King. Jesus can forgive sins because He is the King. And we go back to the time when we read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and other verses. And to Joseph the angel said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The angel came to Mary and told her, in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." It was told to Joseph and it was told to Mary that the son that will be born to Mary, the Virgin Mary, shall be called Jesus. The son of the Virgin Mary was a man that would save people from their sins. He would save people from eternal death, the second death. Those whose sins are not forgiven here on the earth by the Lord Jesus Christ would have two deaths. One, the physical death, which we all have. The second would be the eternal death for not making Jesus their Savior. All those that did not repent of their sins and did not accept the standards of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that did not live according to what Christ has commanded us to live by, and they would be thrown into the lake of fire forever. But that is not the only thing that Mary and Joseph were told. Luke chapter 1, verse 32, "And the angel also told Mary, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Two more things become obvious in this verse. One, that he will be called the Son of the Highest, and that the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And we looked into the first message that Joseph and Mary received by the angel. The message was that the child Mary conceived would be named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He would be the Messiah, the anointed, the Savior of the world. Now, many people question the authority of Jesus. Who is he to forgive everyone's sins? Why should only Jesus be able to forgive everyone's sins? And we said, is this a valid question? Yes, it is a valid question. If someone claims that he can forgive sins, he must give the evidence of it. We must be able to see the evidence. And we last time looked into this evidence. The Lord Jesus Christ claimed to forgive sins. People knew that only God can forgive sins. So how is it that Jesus claimed to forgive sins? How is it that only Jesus, among all men, has the power to forgive sins? No other religion claims that their guru or that their prophet or their mullah can forgive sins. No. So why only Jesus Christ? And straight away we find the answer in what the angel told Joseph and Mary. To Joseph, the angel said in Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." This child that would be conceived in Mary's womb would be of the Holy Ghost. It would not be of a man and woman relationship. The Holy Ghost would work in the womb of the Virgin Mary to bring about this child. And to Mary the angel said, Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 35, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." And then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I do not have any relationship with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, this is a person, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, let us not miss out on that. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This means Jesus is able to forgive sins because he is the Son of God. So clearly we see, and we looked into the scriptures last time, that Jesus is not an ordinary man. He is God who became man. All authority is given to him by God the Father. He came into the world and he paid a great price so that we might be forgiven of our sins. According to the justice of God, it was not enough that God only forgives people's sins. He had to take man's punishment of sins upon himself. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus, in order to forgive our sins, had to take our sins upon himself and die. Jesus became our substitute. He suffered the wrath of sin instead of us. He died instead of us so that we might live forever. We come to understand from the scriptures why among all men only Jesus is given the authority to forgive sins. The evidence that Jesus has the power to forgive sins and can transform a person is seen firsthand in the history of mankind. From the time of the apostles until now, you will find people from all over the earth testifying to the fact that their sins were forgiven by Jesus Christ. It does not matter what background had been, your background had been at birth. It does not matter what kind of belief people had. People from all kind of belief, even Christians who call themselves Christians, have been forgiven by Jesus Christ and brought into his kingdom. Being born in a Christian home does not make you the child of God, because I did not have the assurance. Being born in a Catholic family, you, if you are not yet born again, you will never have that assurance for sure. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the time of the apostles till now and till the end of the earth, will forgive people's sins and give them the assurance that even if they die, they will live forever. Look, it is not the priest and the pastors and the Pope that have given any person assurance. They cannot give anybody an assurance. That is why we here, we can never say, "Oh, I give you the assurance, I can forgive your sins if you do this, this, this." No, dear friends, we point to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and we explain why Jesus came on this earth, as we are doing even today, that He is the only one who can forgive you your sins and deliver you. Yes, it is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself that will seal you for His own. What is the point of religion if they cannot assure you that you can be guaranteed a place in heaven? What is the use? Only Jesus can while you are on this earth. Only Jesus. Thus we come to the third reason and evidence why Jesus is the only one that can forgive sins. First, that His name is Jesus, which means that He will forgive the sins of His people. Second, He has the authority to forgive sins because He is the Son of God. He is God. Thirdly, He has the authority to forgive sins because He is the King. He is a King. Mary was told by the angel that the Lord God shall give Him the throne of His father David. Let us read Luke chapter 1 verse 30 onward. "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end." How many times have you read the Bible, dear friends, this portion, Christmas after Christmas, Christmas after Christmas? But probably this has escaped your mind, your eyes. "The Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom there shall be no end." The Gospel of Matthew begins with the word, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, "The book of the generations of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of David." Joseph and Mary were of the line of David. This is the reason why the angel addresses Joseph, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David." Because he was from the line of David. He was a descendant of David. "Fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So again, what we see here is that even before His birth, even before Jesus' birth, it was announced that Jesus is the King. He's a King. It was announced that He would sit on the throne of His ancestor, King David. And moreover, that He will reign over the house of Jacob, or the house of Israel, forever. Forever. Above all, His kingdom will have no end. No end. There is no other king on this earth who can say, "Oh, my kingdom will have no end." So once again, we can ask the question, why is it that only this one man has the authority to forgive sins? This is because He is the Son of God, God Himself. Besides, He is the King whose kingdom will never come to an end. In the political realm, the king has the supreme authority to forgive and pardon a person of any kind of evil, isn't it? The king is sovereign. He has all the authority. If he wants to, he can forgive and pardon a person of his wrongdoing. He has a full authority to do so. He is Lord, and both death and life is in his hands. Therefore, Jesus being the eternal king, for his kingdom is forever and ever, he has the power to forgive sins. About his kingship, we have the prophecies that span for 1,000 years before his birth. It was prophesied or promised to King David when God made David the king. God promised him 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And we find this in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16 onward. David is told by God through the prophet Nathan, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord? Who am I? And what is my house?" Meaning he's saying, I'm come from a family who are shepherds, and I myself was a shepherd. What am I that thou has brought me up to here to be a king? And now you're promising that my kingdom will not come to an end, that there will always be someone seated on my throne. Then to Solomon, David's son, God appeared to him and said in 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 4 onward, this is what God told Solomon, "And if thou wilt walk," listen to it carefully, "if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Then there's a condition. If you obey me, if you keep my statutes and so on, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, "There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house," meaning the temple which God had asked to build, "which I have hallowed for my name, which will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people." Now we can clearly see here, God puts a condition. If you continue to obey me as David obeyed and love me, then I will see that the line of David will continue. Someone will be there to sit on the throne of David. But if not, I will cast you out of my sight, send you into captivity, destroy you and even the house which I had promised to dwell in. This temple, he says, I will cast out. You will remember the last time we read from the scriptures that since there was no man found on this earth who was fit to be pure and holy, to intercede on behalf of other men and to take away the sins of other men, what did God do? God himself brought salvation. God himself had to come down. He himself had to come down as a man. He himself had to become the savior of mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We see the same in the case of the kings. The kings of Israel sinned. They did not all follow after the commands of the Lord. They defiled themselves. They defiled the temple of God, and they defiled the land with idol worship and all manner of things, even sacrificing their children to the demons. So God had to cast them out of his sight and even destroy the temple which he had commanded to build. Therefore, God had to find another king. He had to find another king. He would have to find a perfect king. A king that would be under him. A king that would submit to the laws that he has made. A king that would honor the laws of God and keep it and live by it. A king that would teach his subjects the commands of the Lord, the Creator, and even die for them, give his life for them. But since there was no perfect king found on this earth, he himself would have to send his own son to be the king from heaven. He would be born into the house of David 1,000 years after the promise made to King David and his son Solomon. Jesus was born to Virgin Mary, the descendant of David, in Bethlehem. The prophecy said in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, the first reading that we read, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," little village, tiny little village, cut off from all the rest of the village perhaps, "yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." Who's going forth? Look at this. Who's going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who always was with the Father. Whose going forth had been from of old, from everlasting. About the virgin birth, Prophet Isaiah prophesied. He said to King Ahaz, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Another prophecy 600 years before Christ was born. Let me just take one more prophecy, although there are many, many. This one is from, again, from Isaiah chapter 9. And bear up with me. Chapter 9, follow the words so that you may be blessed. Chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The Lord will perform what he says. And the Lord did perform it when the Father sent his Son to be born of the Virgin. 20 years ago, the King of Kings was born. He was born to establish the kingdom of God. He was born to forgive people's sin and gather into his kingdom people from all over the earth. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has been doing for the last 2020 years. Kings and queens, men of high degree and low, rich and poor, educated and illiterate, sick and healthy, all of them sinners, among whom even the worst of sinners have been forgiven of their sins and brought into the kingdom of God. Jesus' kingdom is made up of people who has been made new in their souls. They have been made righteous. They have been made clean and given the Holy Spirit to fight against evil spirit, Satan himself. They have been given God's Spirit to live the life of God. Jesus began his ministry saying, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." He came announcing the kingdom of God. You see that? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The good news that the kingdom of God has come. And then Jesus went about calling those that he wanted to bring into his kingdom. He calls them even today. He called me. He called you. He will continue to call. Dear friends, Jesus made it very clear that his kingdom is not of this earth. He made it very clear that his kingdom is not of this earth. "My kingdom is not of this world," he told Pilate, the Roman governor. John chapter 18 verse 36. And then Jesus promised his disciples saying in John chapter 14 verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This would be the new heaven and the new earth. He's gone to prepare a mansion for you, a place for you. The scripture makes it very clear in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink," it's not about eating and drinking, "but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." We are not acceptable by God because we don't eat this and don't eat that. Not because we clean our body this way and clean our body that way. Not because we go to this pilgrimage and that pilgrimage. No, dear friends. It is because of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a life in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." But in power. That means the power of the gospel, the power of the word has to work in you. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." We must be given the new body, the glorious heavenly body, to dwell with Christ for eternity in the kingdom of Christ. Now Satan is trying to duplicate what Jesus Christ does to human beings. Have you heard about transhumanism? Much talk about transhumanism. He's trying to transform men and women into something different. He is injecting in men to transform them into a new breed of mankind. He is trying to make them into superhumans. Jesus Christ, the author of life, will give his people a glorious body. That is a promise of the Lord. The resurrected body in heaven. Satan is trying to put in human flesh technology and merge him into half man and half machine. Remember what Daniel spoke about, the fifth kingdom? Daniel chapter 2 verse 42 to 44, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. They are talking today about new civilization. We have entered into a new civilization. Part of clay and part of flesh. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with myrrh, miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand forever. Luke chapter 17 verse 20 and 21. And when Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Transformation of a human being begins from within. Christ comes within. And therefore, Satan will do something to change a person from within. From within. He wants to imitate Christ Jesus. Dear friends, why should the Lord give his people a new heaven and a new earth? This is because his earth and the whole universe is defiled by sin. We have corrupted it with our sinful nature, we and with our conduct and with our thought. We have made it impure by our disobedience. This corrupt world must be destroyed, must be. A new heaven and a new earth are prepared for God's people. How can the holy, glorious Christ Jesus come and dwell on this earth in his glorified body? How, when this earth is defiled, humans are defiled, how can he come and set his kingdom on this earth, a defiled earth, where there is death, where there is destruction, where there is decay? How can? This corrupt world must be destroyed. It has to be. A new heaven and a new earth are prepared for God's people. That's why he said, "I go to prepare a mansion for you." In this new world, only those that are made clean by Jesus will able to enter and live. That is the new world, the new universe, the new earth that Christ has prepared for us. This is the reason why Jesus said in John chapter 17 verse 14, "You are not of this world." If you are my people, you are not of this world. Abraham, as you know, was not of this world. Therefore, the Bible says he did not put any permanent structure, but he looked for the city built in heaven without hands. That was his hope. What is your hope, dear friend? This world? No, it cannot give you hope to be permanently here. But there is a place where you can live permanently forever, and that is Christ Jesus, who has built and prepared a new heaven and a new earth. If your sins are not forgiven and you are not given his Spirit, you will never able to understand this. I could not. I could not even dream about what it is, because it's only when you are born that you know that you are born. And that is why Jesus says, unless you are born again of the Holy Spirit, then you begin to understand. The Pope cannot, the priest and the bishop cannot, they cannot understand. No one can. You may have all the degrees, theological degrees, philosophical degrees, whatever you want it, No, you can't. The guru and the scientists cannot. The Nobel Prize winners cannot. The rulers of the world cannot. The celebrities definitely they cannot. No one can unless their sins are forgiven and they have the Holy Spirit in them. When your sins are forgiven, the Lord Jesus Christ seals you with His Holy Spirit. He puts His mark upon you. Then you are able to understand the two sides, the sinful nature of man and the life lived in the Holy Spirit, the holy nature. And we can clearly understand that because we were sinners. We lived in sin all the while. And then suddenly you are made new and you begin to understand what you were before and what you are now. And you are assured of heaven. And it begins here, dear friends. Here, right here on this earth while you live. Dear friends, knowing this and of being assured of this, the joy is unspeakable. Unspeakable joy. If you are a seeker of the truth, know this. Beside Jesus, there is none that can take away your sins and make you a man of truth and give you the power to overcome sins. Trust no man. Trust no man. All are sinners and they cannot save themselves. All are liars. Not my words. The Bible says so. There is only one that you can trust to make you complete. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus is a king. All of us have committed treason and sedition against the King, Christ Jesus. Our life belongs to Him. He created us. He formed us. We are to glorify Him. We are to worship Him alone and obey Him alone. But we would not. We rejected His kingship and we committed treason. We revolted and we continue to revolt and rebel against Him. And you know why we continue to do this? Because God is very patient. He does not come on you hard. He does not come on me hard. And so we take it easy. He is slow in anger. Actually, we are all to be sent into hell forever. But He did not. He loved us and gave Himself for us. The king of the earth are jealous of Him. The kings of the earth are jealous of Him. I would be jealous. Yes, why? The rulers feel, how can people of my country give more importance to Jesus? How can they honor Jesus more than me? Who is He? Where is He? Look at my power, the chariots I have, the bombs I have, and all the army I have. Who is He? Where is He? They must honor me. Huh? They must consider me to be their God. All the Caesars of the world desired this. Therefore they said, I am God. Yes, it is the same with the rulers of today. You remember King Herod of Jerusalem, the scripture we read. When the wise men came from the east to honor Jesus as their king and inquired with Herod, he was filled with jealousy. It troubled him. And he was filled with rage. He decided to kill Jesus. These wise men came and worshipped Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You may ask, if He is the King, why can't He forgive us? He has life and death in His hands. So why can't He simply forgive all of us? He is sovereign. So why can't He forgive us? Yes, that is true. But remember, the King who is just, the King who is righteous, holy and perfect, listen to this very carefully. He is ruled by the very law He makes. The just King is the law. He must necessarily keep the law. He is the law. In other words, the law becomes the king just as the king becomes the law. If the law is broken, the king is broken. He cannot bypass the law. Nations that founded their legal system on the word of God understood this. If I'm not mistaken, that is how the great Magna Carta came into being. Britain declared, the law is king. The law is king. Yes, this means Jesus the king could not simply forgive sinners. He had to go through the law and that he had set from eternity. He had to go through the law that he has set from eternity. He could not bypass his own law. He had to keep the law in order to save us. What is the law? The sinner must be punished. The sinner must be punished. The guilty must be punished. The sinner has to die unless there is someone else that will step in the place of the sinner. A sinner has to die and be destroyed unless an innocent person, faultless person, becomes a substitute in his place. And this being the only way to save a sinner from being destroyed for eternity, Jesus stepped in. Jesus stepped in. He was the only perfect one. He was the only sinless one. So he took our sins upon himself. He suffered in our place. He died in our place and suffered our suffering of eternal hell. By his stripes, we are healed. Our iniquities are cleansed. By his stripes. God has provided such a wonderful Savior, an awesome God-man, a marvelous King. There is none like him. Actually, by offering himself as a perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, Jesus fulfilled the perfect role of a high priest. Listen, all you priests from every religion on this earth, there is no need for you to offer your daily sacrifices or your yearly sacrifices. There is no need for you to spill the blood of the animal. No, it is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ has once and for all offered himself as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins, and has entered into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. Don't turn away, dear friends, from Jesus after knowing this truth. Turn to Jesus and he will forgive you. You will be brought into his kingdom, and his kingdom is forever and ever. Shall we pray?